There is one name that can calm every storm. One name that can break every chain. A name that can silence every fear, remove every worry, renew every mind. A name above all other names. A name that brings light to the darkness, that awakens dry bones and heals broken hearts. A name that calls home the lost and calls the dead to life. A name that offers mercy. A name that gives forgiveness. A name that brings unending peace, understanding, hope, and love. The only name that resurrects. The only name that heals. The only name that saves. Today, we sing and shout aloud a name that is worthy of all our worship, worthy of all our praise. We call you risen. We call you Savior. We call you King. We call you Jesus.
Good morning to all, and I pray that this message and at this time we caught you at a great time. You made it to God's hospital. This is the space that we call worship. This is where we take everything that's going wrong, mentally and spiritually, and bring some healing to it. We thank you, Lord, for all things in heaven and in the earth. Are there any praise reports? And I'm getting right to it this morning. Does anyone have something that has happened in their life that's good, that's worth talking about? And that could be any small thing. Don't think that if it's small, you don't want to mention it. Anything that would inspire and encourage others who are going through, you know, different things, and you know, God is still there. And I've always got some things that I recognize that God is doing in my life, but I don't want to be the only one. So I'm going to leave it up to you all to bring your part to the front. If not, then we will move forward. Amen. So we have a great lesson today, and I think it'll be good. I think there's some healing in this lesson, and I want to welcome each and every one of you once again to this space that we call worship. You are welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. Now, I want everyone to buckle up, bring your hats with you, bring your boots. We're not going to get too deep, but we're going to get a little deep today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for this time, and for this moment. We just claim and call it a holy moment, Father, as we come before your presence. We invite the Holy Spirit of promise into this meeting, and into all of our lives, that your revealed knowledge will show up on the screen of our insides and show us what is meant by the word today, giving us discernment and revelation knowledge. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. Now, today's lesson, we started something last week, and I want to give you a little bit more insight today. Now, we talked about the battle of the Christ last week. Jesus Christ or the Antichrist. So, good morning, beloved children of God. Today, we step into the most profound and defining battle of our faith, the battle of the Christ. Now, this is not a battle of armies and navies, of nations, or not even on the freeway, not even your next door neighbor. But this is a battle of spiritual truth versus deception. Light versus darkness. Ultimately, Jesus Christ versus the Antichrist. Now, the world around us is filled with many voices and influences, temptations, and distractions. But the Bible makes it clear that there are only two paths to take. One leads to life eternal through Jesus Christ, and the other leads to deception through the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the battle is not just a distance away or a future event. It is a daily reality check for each and every one of us. Now, we are constantly faced with making decisions, decisions that change the very commitment that we say we stand for. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has already won the battle. He has the victory. Amen? As we explore this spiritual battle today, we will discover how we can stand firm in our faith, recognize the deception of the enemy, and discover how to live a victorious life that Jesus has already secured for his children or for his brothers and sisters, okay? That's what we are to Jesus. Let us open our hearts to his truth and let his word guide us through this season of spiritual conflict. You see, because this battle goes way back to the book of Genesis, you need to put your hat on because we're going to travel back for just a moment. Now, we recognize the difference between the spirit of Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. But most of you are saying, but how do we recognize the difference between the two? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there. I'll say seconds. We're just about a minute. We got to keep going. We got to move it along. Once again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Amen. This is what it says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which ye heard was coming and is now in the world already. Now, that's a surprise, right? Well, open your eyes and look around you at the things that are going on. You can see the spirit of Antichrist all around you, all kind of events happening all over the world. And a lot of them are not positive. They are negative. You see death every day. I mean, just some of the killing that's going on is just crazy. People just get their gun and just start shooting into a crowd. Not that anybody did anything to them. They just got a gun and pulled it out and just, I feel like shooting somebody. And shoot. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which we have heard was coming and is now already in the world. He puts himself in place of God's law. In the beginning, in Genesis, there were two trees in the Garden of Eden. Adam was told in the beginning which tree to eat from and which tree not to eat from. Now, what do the trees represent? I'm glad you ask. Now, the tree of life represents immortality. That means it represents the ability to live forever, which is eternal life. Now, let me dignify this. That does not mean you're going to live it in the flesh. But your soul and your spirit, if they serve God, they will live on. Now, the tree of life signifies the life that God intended for humanity before the fall into sin. It also represents divine wisdom, understanding, and spiritual nourishment, also wholeness. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, on the other hand, represents the duality of knowledge and the many choices that man can take. So instead of, you know, following God, you got one choice with God, okay? Because he's going to give you a path to go. He wrote it down. But when you're eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you've got many choices. You something somebody did over there and it worked, and that one did something different, and grandmama did something different, and all these other things. Okay? And all these other choices. It represents man and his learned earthly knowledge that we follow. It represents our own decisions and being our own God. Example, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself. Or only when we play ourselves into a corner do we come back to God and ask somebody around you, pray for me. I messed up. But that has to happen before some people come back to God. And then after they've been freed or everything's worked out, they take off and do the same thing all over again. And this begins to be a circle that they go in for the rest of their lives. When some people that follow God and the person that said that may see them later on in life and say, man, you look like you're doing well. What are you doing? You know, all you got to do is tell them, serving the living God. Because while you run around that fast circle, just going round and round, I'm going step by step by step with God. And as I keep moving in the step by step with God, then I'm going forward because God knows the way, the truth, and the life because he created us. So he knows what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be going. Okay, Let's take a deep dive into the Word of God, because Satan does not have a Bible where all the knowledge is written down in one place. His knowledge is scattered into the fabric of man's society. People quote those words at different times and they believe those things. And they are written down in little paragraphs and sentences and innuendos, you know, and other statements we say. They're mixed in with the Word of God, with God's wisdom and God's knowledge, so that you cannot see him and uncover the difference between the two. Now, to understand the battle that is being waged, we must understand this. It is being waged for our souls. So pay attention, because the devil is after you, and so is God. He wants you to stay where you are, to stay with him. Now, the origin and nature of Jesus. Let's talk about that next. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He was not created. He is a creator. John 1, 1 and 3. This is what it says. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the fullness of God revealed in human form. He came to earth with a mission of salvation to reconcile us with God, to forgive our sins, to offer us eternal life through his death and resurrection. Now, Jesus is the very nature, embodies humility, love, and sacrifice. He laid down his life willingly for the salvation, and we call that saving grace, of humanity, showing the ultimate example of selfless love. John 15, 13. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. And the victory is marked by the triumph of light over darkness. Now, the origin and nature of the Antichrist. The word anti means opposed to, against. The Antichrist is described in Scripture as the embodiment of rebellion against God. Now, the term Antichrist itself refers to anyone who denies the reality of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And you would be surprised how many people do not confess Jesus. And I'm not only talking about people, I'm talking about churches, religions. They don't confess Christ. They think he was a major or some kind of minor prophet. That's it. They don't think he was the Son of God and that he saved the whole world. 1 John 2 and 22 says, the Antichrist seeks to distort the truth, to lead people away from Christ, and to establish his own kingdom. Now, one that is centered around deception, power, and he teaches glorification of one's self. In other words, you become your own God. You believe in yourself and your decisions instead of believing in the Almighty God and his decisions. Now, the Antichrist is not just a single person, but can also refer to the spirit of lawlessness. I know you see that run down the freeway every day. Anyway, that works in the world to oppose Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 4. In the book of Revelations, though, we see the Antichrist represented by the beast rising out of the sea, an image of worldly power and blasphemy against God. Revelations chapter 13, verse 1 through 8. The key to identifying the spirit of Antichrist is that it identifies the truth of who Jesus is. So when you, what it's saying is, in order to see the Antichrist, you got to see and know Jesus. You just can't see him without that. You need Jesus in your life. Because when you have Jesus, you have discernment. You have the Holy Spirit on your side, dwelling on the inside of you, giving you God's wisdom and God's revealed knowledge. Amen. Now, the key to identifying the Antichrist also is that you read and study and pray all the day long, because you cannot say when or who he may work through. So those keys are very, very important. And always invite the Holy Spirit into your life every day. And if you do something without him, invite him back in. If you miss him, and when I say miss him, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. If you miss him, come back to him, repent, ask for forgiveness, and invite him back into your life. Do you want the truth? I'm going to give you some today. And the fact that he is the Son of God, fully divine and fully human, who came to save the world, some people still do not believe so. Amen. Now, the mission of Christ, pay attention. Jesus came to bring salvation. What did we say salvation was? Saving grace. And to offer eternal life. How do we get eternal life? By following the Spirit of Christ, following the Word of God, and inviting the Holy Spirit into your life and listening to that Spirit all the day long, directing you, correcting you, and showing you the way to go. That's how we stay on course. That's how we win. He came to reveal the truth of God's love, to destroy the works of the devil, and to bring about reconciliation between God and man. Because you know there was a split, you know, as big as the gulf between man and God when man sinned. Then we had to have a priest or a prophet to give you God's word and for you to give or go to God with things that you need to be forgiven for, or ask him to intercede or to do this or that for you. You had to go to the high priest or the prophet. Bring a sacrifice of praise. That's what you had to do. But now, Jesus brought reconciliation to man. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, I hope you understand that better. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Now, his mission was one of grace, peace, and restoration. Through his death on the cross, Jesus took upon himself the punishment for our sins, made a way for us to be forgiven and to have eternal life with the Father. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, his resurrection from the dead is the ultimate victory, proving that death has been defeated and that salvation is freely offered to all who believe in him. Amen. Romans 10 and 9 through 10 says that if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what is that saying? That you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. But it also tells you, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth you have to make confessions unto God, and it also comes in your own ears, go down in your soul, and it manifests in your life. That's why you confess. Now, the mission of Antichrist, on the other hand, seeks to destroy the works of Jesus. He comes to deceive, to destroy, and to establish a counterfeit kingdom that leads people into rebellion against God. And I'm telling you, I know a lot of you have tried. I tried it too when I was younger. Yes, my parents taught me right. They brought me up right. But when I got of age, I went out there and tried everything that they say don't do. I went out and tried it. And believe you me, I paid for it. I paid the consequences. Sometimes it took me back, you know, to where it would take me longer to recover. It wasn't just, let me turn around and go back. Wasn't like that. And so there are things that you could get yourself into that is hard to get out of. Some of you are still carrying some of that stuff that you've been trying to get rid of all of your life because your parents told you not to do it, but you did it. And now you can't get rid of it. So stay with God. Keep confessing. Keep praying. That's the only way to get rid of it. Because you're going to follow the pathway, and his word has a standard to it. So as you follow that standard, it tells you nothing can go up that high, especially not the things in the world, because we know Satan's way starts off good. But what happens? He changes course. And you don't get to where you thought you were going. You don't get what you thought you were going to get. It turns out to be something entirely different. Amen. Now, what we said was, we talked about the mission of Jesus Christ, and then we talked about the mission of the Antichrist. That's where we were. Telling you that you can be free and rule over your own life is the spirit of Antichrist. Make your own decisions through your own knowledge and wisdom. Be responsible for yourself. Become your own God. Okay? This is what he teaches. In 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter and verse 9 through 12, it says, we are warned that the Antichrist will come with false signs and wonders to deceive those who refuse to love the truth. Don't be caught out. I'm telling you now, that's a summation of what you'll be reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Now, the mission of the Antichrist is one of division, confusion, and ultimately destruction. He aims to replace Jesus as the object of worship, and he'll do whatever he can to get you to worship him or to not listen to Jesus are your prayers. Or, you know, sometimes you can get off into things and you say, I plan to pray and I plan to read the Bible, but all this stuff came on, and what happened? You got deferred in another way. Okay? And that's part of his, you know, MO. You got to understand his modus operandi, or his mode of operation, is to distract, discourage, destroy, displace. These are the type of things that you can look for if you're following him. Now, the difference between Jesus and the Antichrist is this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Antichrist says, exalts himself, seeks to rule and to deceive through deception. Jesus said, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. Antichrist speaks lies and brings death, because he tries to saw that limb when you get out there. Okay? Through Jesus, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Antichrist offers nothing but destruction, guilt, shame, and eternal separation from God. Jesus says that I am healed by his stripes. The Antichrist encourages us to worship ourselves and seek power and glory at the expense of others. Through Jesus, I am a member of a chosen generation and part of a royal priesthood. Conclusion: as we stand in the midst of this spiritual battle, let us hold firm to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Christ. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing, the Savior of the world, and the King of kings, Lord of lords. The spirit of Antichrist may try to deceive us, but we must test the spirit and hold fast to the word of God. We must confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and that he is the Son of God. He is the only way to salvation. 1 John 4:2-3. The war is real. Look around you. The stakes are high. People are dying on the streets. But we have victory in Christ Jesus. And we stand firm with the whole armor of God, knowing that we are hidden in the secret place of the Most High and heirs according to the promise. Ephesians 6:10-18 says, let us be vigilant or on guard, discerning and committing to living the truth of the gospel, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and resisting the lies of the Antichrist. May the Lord strengthen us and give us courage to stand firm in the battle and be light in darkness, and to proclaim his truth in a world that desperately needs it. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given us the truth, and that in Christ we have eternal life, Father. Help us to discern the spirit that we are in the world, to recognize the lies of the Antichrist, and to stand firm in our faith, that we come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, proclaiming the truth of the gospel, Lord, and being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We confess that we are blessed in all heavenly places, that God is with us. We commit this day to being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We thank you for the victory that has been promised through Christ Jesus, and we thank you for all things in heaven and in the earth. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray today, amen and amen.
Now, amen.
I want you all to come back next week. Our title is going to be Discernment. That's a heavy topic, but it's ever present before you every day, all day, discernment. And next week, we will talk about those things. Now, don't forget to hit the collection plate today. May God bless you. May God keep you. We are praying for your families and loved ones. We are also praying for those who had it not and those that are seeking God. And we pray that he order your steps this week, cover you in the blood of the Lamb, and keep you each and every step of the way. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Y'all have a good day. Praise God.